Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, Flannelly Promotions in New York City, and irishradio.com worldwide. And I am delighted to welcome Sean O'Hay. He's from Dublin, and he is the Deputy Consul General of Ireland here in New York City. And Sean, you're indeed very welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Sean, anyway, I just for those who may think that the consulate, the Irish consulate in the United States is relatively new, we'd have to go back some 90 years, back to 1930 when in the midst of the worst depression, the Great Depression, Ireland, and which was not in great shape itself, but there was a constitutional change in Ireland that actually culminated in the adoption of the Constitution of Ireland, and that was even 7 years later. A sterling history in which in no small part, you know, contributed to a very special and friendly alliance between the United States and Ireland.
Absolutely. It's, 1930 is when the consulate was formally opened. And, of course, it was one of our first diplomatic missions abroad, one of Ireland's first, and was very important at the time. And of course, it still has that importance just because of the super strong links between Ireland and the US and the huge Irish and Irish American community here in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. You know, Sean, a lot of people may have, and particularly those of us who have been involved and worked very closely with the consulate, like most other changes we've had since COVID, you know, some 15 months ago, it seemed like, you know, in terms of the relationship between Ireland and the U.S., together with all of the changes in terms of travel and the inability for people to either come here or to go back to Ireland, I would appreciate if you would actually, first of all, give us an overview of what the consulate is doing, and if in fact that has resulted in any changes that we should know about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's been, I think, one of the toughest parts of this past 18 months has been that people have been separated from their families and their loved ones and, you know, not able to travel home for funerals or for to be with sick relatives. And, of course, vice versa, limitations on Irish people coming to the US. So it's been really tough for people. But hopefully we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. And I suppose I can set out the restrictions as they stand at the moment, and also how we hope or expect them to change from July 19th, with a bit of a caveat that I guess we realize nothing. The only thing that's certain over the past 18 months is that there will be uncertainty, and the new sort of Delta variant has injected that sort of bit of extra uncertainty into roadmaps for reopening. But at the moment, we're still recommending against all non-essential travel from the US into Ireland and non-essential travel for Irish people out of Ireland. So if you're traveling from the US to Ireland right now, if you're fully vaccinated, you will just need to get a negative PCR test no more than 72 hours before you arrive in Ireland. And then you need to, on arrival, you need to quarantine at home. But you can what we call test out. So on the fifth day of your quarantine at home, so be it an Airbnb or your own holiday home or whatever in Ireland, on the fifth day, if you get a negative COVID test, then you can leave that home quarantine. But we are hopeful now that it will all change from the 19th of July. That's what we hope at the moment, barring any, you know, unforeseen issue with variants, is that from the 19th, that sort of recommendation against non-essential travel is lifted. And then, if you're going from the US to Ireland, you have your card from the CDC showing your full vaccination. So there's no other restrictions. You don't need to get tested before travel, and you don't need to quarantine once you arrive in Ireland. I would say people probably still need to check with their airline in case there's extra conditions placed by their airline on travel. But in terms of Ireland, the government of Ireland's restrictions, if you're fully vaccinated, then you're free to travel from the 19th of July. So I think that's good news for people who have been separated and haven't wanted to go home over the course of the pandemic. Of course, there still remain restrictions on people coming in from Ireland to the US. And as your listeners probably know, those haven't been lifted. So US, you know, Irish citizens who are also US citizens or Irish citizens who are green card holders, they can travel from Ireland directly to the US with their spouses and with their dependents. But, you know, your average Joe in Ireland who is just an Irish citizen can't at the moment travel into the US. But we're hopeful that the US will ease these restrictions over the coming months.
Well, okay, I'd say that's why you're, you know, a deputy consul general, and I'm from Mayo, so, you know, what I think might happen is I would have been very happy just to start at the 19th of July, but you are giving us information which is very pertinent. And I think, Sean, that's, you know, where some of the confusion lies, in that there is such a, you know, mixed-room gathering of information out there that to decipher and to, as you have, you know, done so well, just to spell out, you know, what the story is. And that might bring us to those who probably were not aware, although God knows we've mentioned it often, that the consular services to Irish citizens has been intact from day one. There was never, you know, there's never a period when, you know, you close shop or, you know, put anybody on hold. And we're very proud of that. But there are, I'm sure, many who felt, I didn't know whether I should, you know, have applied for a passport or renewed a passport and something. That, forgetting everything before today, now, can you fill us in on, again, pick up, you know, since the start of COVID lockdown, you know, and what services, no point in going over what people could have done, because they could have, frankly, availed of all the services. But now, passports, if you just zero in on that, that would be terrific.
Yeah, and I suppose just one final point on the travel. It is, I think, I get that it's confusing and the advice does change, but I would direct people to our website, dfa.ie/New York, as soon as there's new advice, we put that up there on our homepage so your listeners can look there and see what regime applies to them at the time that they're traveling. And of course, they can always reach out to us for clarification if they need to. But moving on to passports, it's a positive step. We've moved to a totally online system, in fact, for passports. So no matter whether you're applying for your passport for the first time or whether you're renewing, whether you're an adult or a child, everyone resident in the U.S., Irish citizen residents in the U.S. can now apply online for their passports. And the passport service in Ireland did stop processing routine passports for a while there during the pandemic, but now they are back up and running and getting through things at a rate of knots. So I think people will find it an easier system. You go online, again, through our website, dfa.ie New York. There's a section there on passports, and everyone can apply online and upload a photo themselves that someone can take of them on their smartphone at home, upload the photo and go through all the steps online. So I think people will find it more convenient, and certainly in these days of COVID, it does cut out a certain amount of the necessity to come in and see people and go through documents face to face.
Sean, who qualifies for a passport? Again, another situation that if you have, three Irish people in the room, you can get four opinions on whether it's your mother or your grandmother or, what is the basic qualifications for applying for what will be dual citizenship, because if you're already in America, you're an American citizen. So This is not instead of or to replace your American citizenship, but rather, how would you define, first of all, the qualifications necessary and then the advantages?
Okay. Well, I suppose, as you say, it's not instead of having a U.S. Passport, and Ireland doesn't place any restrictions on dual citizenship. So as far as we're concerned, you can have an U.S. passport and an Irish passport. There's no issue from the Irish side on that. And there's a few ways that you can have an entitlement to Irish citizenship. Of course, there's people who are born in Ireland. There's also people who are born abroad to a parent who was born in Ireland. And under that circumstance, we consider that person to be Irish if they consider themselves Irish. So say your mother was born in County Mayo and moved here and you were born in New York, then we consider you an Irish citizen if you feel Irish yourself. And then what many Irish Americans obtain their citizenship is through a grandparent, something we call foreign birth registration. So in that case, they're not automatically a citizen, but need to apply to become one. So there is a certain amount of gathering of documentation. Say your grandmother was born in County Mayo, moved to the States. So we need to see kind of that paper trail, your grandmother's birth cert from County Mayo, then your father's birth cert, and then your own, and documents like that. And that's all processed in Ireland. And there has been a pause on that during the pandemic because people working in that area were redeployed to other areas like contact tracing. Mm-hmm. But it is beginning to start up again. And I think within the next month or so, that'll get going again. There is, unfortunately, there has been, even before the pandemic, a bit of a backlog because of Brexit, which really increased the number of applicants for Irish citizenship. So there was a backlog of 12 to 18 months or a delay of 12 to 18 months of people receiving their citizenship. But so I expect that it will be the same now when it gets up and going again. But that is the other way for Irish Americans to get their citizenship. So they get that citizenship first through foreign birth registration, and at that point then, armed with their registration cert, they can apply for the passport.
Now, for those who say that seems to me like, an uphill battle, because my grandmother did come from Ireland, and, so how do I get that information? She's gone most of the easy routes in obtaining proof, particularly through birth certificates. Is there by virtue of the Irish government website, which does provide an avenue through records and census records, is that of any help to anybody in terms of doubling back to see where, would it give a clue as to where the grandmother might have been from, and how to go about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suppose the thing is that many people, the documents wouldn't have been kept, or they don't have access to them. They're with another, their cousins possibly. But you can now apply online and get replacement certificates for marriages, births, and deaths that happened in Ireland. And we do have a link on our webpage as well on that. But generally, if you have the name, approximate date of birth, and the approximate place of birth, the General Register's Office in Ireland can locate a copy of the entry and send you out the appropriate form. So, again, you can do it all from the comfort of your computer at home.
That's really a terrific service, and definitely I think a lot of people who say, I don't have enough information, I don't know where to go. Yeah. Another tremendous service of the Irish government, and again, that wouldn't have been that easy if we go back a few years ago, but here we have it.
Yeah. Sean? It's €20, it's not, which I guess is 23 or something dollars, so it's not that much then for a standard cert.
Yeah, for $23, I don't think, if anybody is interested, I don't think that sounds to me like a hell of a deal, but anyway. Now, during, let's use the 18 months, and still moving forward, the economy in Ireland, many would say that hasn't, suffered as much as one might imagine, and seems to be on the uptick again. But what about the part of your role in the consulate is to promote Irish economic and business interests, and is that leveling off, as we know, not only the economy, but the work rules, and there's a lot of gaps and restrictions. How did Ireland and the U.S. Manage during that period of time? Was it fairly good or a disaster?
So I suppose the Irish economy, I saw even today forecasts that our GDP growth will sort of increase by quite a bit now that we're coming out of COVID. And I think the same is going to happen for for the US, right? They're talking about a new roaring 20s. But of course, we are, in terms of COVID restrictions, a little bit behind in Ireland. But we, again, variant dependent, will be opening up again a bit more from the 5th of July. More activities are possible. People, bars and restaurants should reopen for indoor service. Then from the 19th of July, as I mentioned, we have the travel. And then hopefully more restrictions being lifted in August. So I suppose we're hopeful that the economy will bounce back. And there is that, of course, pent-up demand. People haven't been spending. They've been at home on Zooms, going for walks or whatever it is.
Right.
That, you know, that there will be that that bounce to the Irish economy, like I think we're seeing in the US economy as people start to spend again and start to travel, go out to restaurants, all of that.
Yeah.
Go to the pub.
That sounds good. I want to ask you about the services and the work of the Irish government, and particularly in, you know, in recent years, the Irish government, the consulates, throughout the United States have worked very closely, you know, with the Irish community.
Mm.
And then for all of us, overnight, everything changed. And it seemed like the Irish community, not just peculiar to the Irish, obviously, but that, you know, many things would, you know, fall apart, and that, again, one of the few countries that has supported, you know, the immigrant programs, which have, say, we got very used to them for, you know, for many the year now. What is the pivotal role of the consulate, and how is that going, and what can, for instance, the immigrant support programs, how are they on hold? Is the contribution, you know, including financial contribution of the Irish government, is that intact? Is that about to come back? Tell us how that.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Adrian. I mean, the most important role, really, of the consulate is to support the community here, and it's something I've missed a lot in not having that, you know, face-to-face interaction at community events with people. But it's coming back, and I've gone to a few events already back in person, so, and it's really wonderful to be out there again, and I hope that the consulate will be starting to have our own events again soon. But yeah, tough times for everyone, of course, but also for the Irish community over the last 18 months. And I think the Irish government was very conscious of the difficult situation of people abroad. You know, COVID's been difficult for everyone, but it's doubly difficult for people who are away from support systems, their friends, their family, and weren't able to travel back. So the Irish government, through the consulate, we do support a range of organisations in New York and a bit further afield that help the Irish community. So, for example, we've, you know, the Emerald Isle centres in Queens and the Bronx, the Aisling Centre on McLean Avenue, the New York Irish Centre. And they were all quite active, I think, in looking after the most vulnerable in the community. Obviously here,
absolutely,
people weren't able to work. People were working in pubs, the service industry. Some people had very tough times. So the government of Ireland did support the work of the centres, you know, in supporting those most vulnerable in our community. And we continue, we're still supporting them to provide these welfare services. And, you know, the Emerald Isle, for example, does great work in providing support to people who have immigration queries about their status, the undocumented, for whom, you know, it's always difficult, but doubly so in these times. So yeah, that's a huge part of our work, is to work together with these centres and others, to make sure those who are most in need, in our community, get assistance. And people have been great. I think there were some really heartening examples of the Irish community coming together and to support each other, not just in New York, but in New Jersey as well, in Bergen County. You know, there were people coming together, delivering meals to healthcare workers, raising money for people in the community who needed support. So it's really been great to see, and kind of the spirit of the real spirit of Irish America, yeah, of the kind of the Mehel, and of course we have the Mehel initiative as well, people coming together collectively to help each other. So been great to see.
You know, that is something that's, I think, in our DNA, and we ought to know a lot about it. If we go back to, you know, the famine, which was a devastating part of our history as well, and, you know, and America was the most welcoming place on the face of the earth. I think we have, we've inherited, you know, some, we might be a bit better at it than others, and say any more about that, I'd get deeply into trouble.
And you've had, of course, Adrian, you've had, I think, people, with the Katrina Clark or others on from the Sláinte 2020 initiative, which did so much great work.
Yeah. Incredible. Now, we had, before the onslaught of COVID, the government of Ireland had declared, you know, a decade of centenaries, programs, including events to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the 1916 Rising, and so many others along the way. Did many of them get postponed? Scuttled? Where are we with respect to, you know, again, those programs?
No, absolutely. And of course, many things had to be put online during the COVID pandemic. But some people may have seen the very interesting series that President Higgins has been hosting, which brings people together to kind of think deeply about, you know, how that decade has shaped the following century and shapes us even today. And of course, we're coming up to the centenary of the signing of the treaty later this year. So, yes, we've still got some very we've still got a number of events to commemorate, and of course we're getting to the point of, you know, quite sensitive commemorations that have to be dealt with in a sensitive way, because still evoke strong emotions even still. We know that the treaty, of course, then sparked afterwards the Irish Civil War, and I remember my grandparents still talking, you know, about the Civil War and who was on what side and so on. So it's still a factor in Irish society today, I think. So there will be these events then will hopefully be able to be back in person again in the next month. There is, I know, Dublin Castle will host an exhibition on the treaty itself, I think at the start of next year, looking into the background to the treaty and with lots of materials from the National Archives, looking at the stories of those who were involved, who went over to London, who negotiated the treaty. So mm-hmm. I think that's the next major event to be commemorated in the series.
Sean O'Hay, we have addressed and are grateful as a community to the Irish government for stepping in to support the immigrant support programs. What about, and this is something that a lot of us do worry about, what about the cultural, we were on the fast lane in, in conjunction with the government, in getting recognition and many would say long overdue recognition for the arts and culture in the United States. Where is that and how do you see that in terms of how fast can we get back on track?
I mean, it's such an important part of who we are, and I think culture, Irish culture, really helps us in so many ways to kind of gives us an in to amplify our reach in other areas, economic, trade, because there's such an interest in Irish culture and Irish literature, and we really punch above our weight, I feel, on it. We have, about 6 months ago, I think, in the consulate, we have a new head of cultural affairs, mm-hmm. Nick Quaife, who now is helping sort of beef up what we're doing on culture as things get back to in-person. And I think, you know, the last major event we had was Bloomsday a couple of weekends ago, and it was really striking to see just how many events happened all across the US for Bloomsday in New York, in Buffalo, in DC. It's really kind of amazing to see how popular it has become, and it's about more than Ulysses, more than James Joyce now. It's sort of a celebration of Ireland and of Irish cultural outputs, of Irish literature, and that's great to see. And I was also struck by the success of Normal People during the pandemic. The Sally's adaptation of Sally Rooney's novel, which was a big hit, I think, in the US as well. So no,
absolutely,
I think
Irish
culture is as popular as ever in the US.
And as a choice for those of us who know Nick Quaife, I don't think you could have a better choice. He's in the right place at the right time. Sean O'Hay, before I let you go, I'd like you to explain, if you will, about the assistance you can expect from the Irish consulate in the event of emergencies, and whether that's in somebody in Ireland, if there's an unexpected tragedy, death, or something unspeakable, and many of us don't want to think about. You know, don't want to think about what might or could happen, but how easy is it to get help from the Irish government by virtue of the consulates around the United States?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, as I said, it's our primary function, really, is to help Irish citizens and the Irish community, so we are here for any queries that people have, and especially in emergency circumstances. We have our consulates around the US and the consulate here in New York. We have a duty officer on call all the time, 24/7. So if there is an emergency, you can call our main number, which is on our website, but 212-230-2480. You leave a message, and the person who's on duty will call you back to look after your query. Obviously, you know, it's for emergency situations. If the query is more routine, they can contact us through our website or at newyorkcongen@dfa.ie. So, you know, that mailbox is monitored Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. You'll get a response that day. But, you know, I think it is, especially the travel rules around COVID, it's confusing because it changes all the time. So I would say have a look at our website. We post up any new information there as soon as we have it. Have a look there. But, of course, if you're still unclear, please don't hesitate to reach out. Drop us a line on the website or give us a call. Leave a message and we'll call you back to explain what you need to do in your particular circumstances. And, of course, if it's an emergency, you know, ring the main line, you know, even at the weekend, leave a message and we'll get back to you on it. But, yeah, we're here to help. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
I thank you. I thank you indeed. And also, you know, the Consul General of Ireland in New York, Kieran Madden, and a tremendous staff. It hasn't been easy, but I wonder how is it that you picked the shortest straw? Because you were the first one, you know, to go back, and you've been there for a year. Did anybody ask if you had a mote on you, or if like if you'd like a sandwich or anything? It's been terrific, and again, our thanks, you know, to Kieran, to you, and to, you know, the staff and the Irish Consulate here in New York, and for that matter, throughout the United States. Your website is?
Yes, so www.dfa, for Department of Foreign Affairs, .ie/New York.
dfa.ie.
Yeah.
And the /New York. Sean O'Hay, again, thank you. Thank you for your time and for spelling out and dispelling, incorrect information and giving us the skinny, so to speak. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Stay well, stay safe, and to the listeners, reach out to us at the consulate if we can help, if you need us. Okay. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you. Okay. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, usairishradio.com, worldwide. The mountain of information is something I don't think many of us knew about the half of it, but that's what it is. It's very encouraging. And again, continuing the tradition of Ireland and America and the special relationship, never mind the other special relationship, Ireland and America, the Irish government does indeed and has supported all of us. Okay, we'll be right back after this message.